Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest,
your hermitage of the heart,
your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this life. And the tumult we're talking about today is the demonic influence on children and young adults, and how we, as their parents and as their grandparents, can help them, and how we can help them to help themselves as well out of this quagmire. And we have an expert guest with us who recently co-authored a book with me called Discernment of Spirits for Beginners. She brings not just the commitment to the spiritual realm of our faith, which is very strong, but also on the psychological side. So Stephanie, why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay. Mary Ruth Hackett holds a PhD in educational psychology with an emphasis in parenting and identity development. She has a great podcast called Parenting Smarts. She's also the author of Daughter by Design, Discovering Your Identity as God's Beloved Daughter, and co-author of Spiritual Discernment for Beginners, Learning to Hear God and Defeat the Lies of the Enemy. Discover more resources and reflections at maryruthhackett.com. So welcome, Mary Ruth. Dr. Mary Ruth, we're so happy to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Stephanie and Dan.
So I want to begin with one of the worst experiences that I had in serving in exorcism ministry. Stephanie and I did that a number of years ago, and we've been in 24 or so full rite exorcisms. And one of the worst things that I heard a demon say, so when you're in an exorcism, you're ready for the worst of the worst. And then this case was particularly bad. It wasn't a quiet, a battle. It was a loud, difficult battle. And the demons were talking regularly. And it's even hard for me to say it now, because it's so disturbing, even though it's incredibly simple. But if you understand the import of it, it strikes to the core. And the demon said, so the priest is trying to extract from the victim how it is that they became possessed. They became possessed at a very, very young age. In fact, it was, I think, 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And the demon, so the priest is commanding it, and it's the demon's laughing and, doing what they do. And it said with this kind of extraordinarily disturbing confidence, children are easy. Children are easy. And I'm just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I just hated everything about that utterance. And not just since then, but because of that moment, and because of my own work teaching discernment of spirits, I've always wanted to figure out a way to get discernment of spirits in the hands of the youngest possible audience, because of the power of understanding how the enemy manipulates, and that we don't have to live through that.
Yeah. I think too, why I love this work of discernment of spirits is what it does for the individual. Like you said, it helps wake them up to understand the tools, but also in this realm of parenting, of raising children, how do I help my kids?
Yeah.
How do I help my kids?
My grandkids.
What do I need to know as a parent, as a grandparent, about discernment of spirits, about how the enemy manipulates, not only for myself and my own protection, my own salvation, but for those I serve, those I love, and for the children that are under my care, either my direct children or my children's children.
Yeah.
So it's just such an important realm of topic understanding that we need to have.
Yeah. So Mary Ruth, when was the first time you came into contact with this idea, this fundamental idea? You know, children have normal struggles that have nothing to do with the demonic, of course. But when did you come into contact with this idea that it could be, or that it is normative, whatever it was for you, of the enemy to constantly seek to manipulate our children, because unfortunately they are often easy targets?
Yeah, I would say I certainly didn't encounter any of it in my undergraduate or graduate work in psychology. And that was something that was just not even touched upon.
That's not a surprise.
The supernatural world. But I converted to the faith after getting my PhD, mm-hmm. and having the wealth of the knowledge of the Catholic Church and the faith and the traditions and the saints gave me a chance to kind of go back and revisit a lot of what I knew about child development, the way kids develop, and look at it with a new lens. And then also I was having my own kids at the same time. So also from the lens of like, okay, now as a parent also. So I went from being really very myopic in my thought, or very one visioned in my thought of like, this is just what psychology says, to then saying, okay, but what am I experiencing as a parent? And what does the church say with 2000 years of tradition on these subjects? So hitting it from those three different points was really my opening, because I was pregnant with my second when I graduated, and I came into the church when he was still, you know, in my arms. And I then had two more after him. So I've got four kids, and they range in age from now 13 to 22. And I think it really started hitting home with me in two ways. One was seeing what was happening in the lives of some of our friends who had kids who were a little bit older, and really wondering what is going on? What is going on in those homes? What is going on with those kids? And my heart just breaking to see the struggle of these children, really questioning, this is just not normative struggles. Like, everybody struggles, but there's got to be something else going on there. Mm. And then the second part for me, that second, how did I, you know, really become interested, I think is seeing it then within my own home, and particularly in that junior high age, with one of my, well, really with two of my children almost at the same time, our family really being under attack. I'd say even with a third, and not even knowing about the attacks that the third child was struggling with. And so to be able to sort of step back and say, okay, what's going on here? I know that this is not just normative development, because I know what normative development looks like. But what else could be at play? And so then I had to jump into the resources. I started taking, well, I first interviewed Kathleen Beckman for my podcast.
She's great.
She's got a great book by Sophia Press on spiritual warfare in the family. And that was really my first intellectual experience with spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits. And through my conversation with her, actually off air, I realized that we as a family had some genealogical stuff we had to clear up that I was completely unaware of. It led to a series of renunciation and prayers with my pastor, actually. And then to see what happened subsequently after that. I mean, just so it's a very personal thing for me, too, as a mom, trying to do everything I can to protect my family, to clean up the guck of past generations, because we had Freemasonry, very, very high level, highest level Freemasonry in our family. Luckily, had a priest who knew what to do.
By God's design.
By God's design.
If I could repeat something back to you to summarize, you're watching the behavior of your children and your family. You know what normative behavior is. You know what pathological problems are, normal problems are. You know the distinctions. You understand it from a purely human psychology standpoint, but you're converted. Mm-hmm. So now you're seeing through the eyes of faith, and a different lens now is open to you, and you are recognizing that there are patterns that don't fit any of the answers, mm-hmm. or problems or questions that don't fit anything that you learned, even though you studied all the way through to a PhD in psychology. And as you began to pr- practice and live out the faith, that's when thing was there a moment when, for instance, you learned from Kathleen's book, by the way, which we highly recommend, Spiritual Warfare for the Family. Is that
what Spiritual Warfare in the Family?
In the Family. We cover it. We actually carry that book at all of our events. So was there something you learned there that you applied and then you watched a specific shift occur? Of course, the Freemasonry was one, but I'm more looking for a relational challenge, maybe, or a developmental challenge with one of your kids that normal psychology wouldn't, unaided by the spiritual world, wouldn't solve. But then you applied some of the principles you were learning, and then you watched something shift.
Yeah, I have a story that my daughter actually has encouraged me to share. She and I went to maybe 6 months after reading Kathleen's book and starting that process, which was a longer process for me than most, because with my priest in terms of the prayer and the breaking of spiritual ties. And we went to a lecture. She and I, she was then 11 or 12, went to a lecture on St. Michael the Archangel. And it was at our parish. It was given by a priest. It was amazing. It was wonderful. We went home that night. And I tucked her in, we said prayers, I went up to bed just like normal, no problems, no issues. And in the middle of the night, she woke me up. You know, it was one of those moments where you wake up and your child is standing right at your bedside and you sort of, okay, hi, what do you need? And she sort of mumbled something, but it was fairly incoherent. And I said, okay, come on, baby, let's get you back to bed. As I reached out to her, she was shaking. I mean, visibly, I could feel her shaking in my arms. And so I helped get her back into her bed, and she just continued shaking. I pulled the covers over her, and I just lay with her for a while, and she was terrified. I mean, she was absolutely terrified. It wasn't a cold shaking. It was a scared shaking.
So, Mary Ruth, I apologize.
Yes, sir.
We have to stop for a break. So, we'll stop there. It's a good enticement for folks to come back from the break to hear the rest of the story.
The punchline will come soon.
Yeah, we're speaking with Mary Ruth Hackett. You can find more about her at maryruthhackett.com, and she's the co-author of my most recent book. We wrote it together, obviously, called Discernment of Spirits for Beginners: Learning to Hear God and Defeat the Lies of the Enemy. Which you can find at Sophia. Find it at Sophia, but we'd rather you go to spiritualdirection.com/shop. And when we get back from the break, we'll continue with this spooky story about middle of the night struggles with Mary Ruth's daughter. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. By the way, this show is sponsored by Holy Habits App, the Holy Habits App. If you want to grow spiritually and you don't know where to start, where to go, it's an amazing app that I personally have been the primary subject matter expert for. And you can find that out on Apple and iTunes app stores. So check that out. The other thing I want to tell you about is a new course, we're having this course again, The Mystical Wisdom of the Desert Fathers. I've recently been listening to biography, that's what I was looking for, of St. Anthony of the Desert and the Desert Fathers, and it's fascinating what you can learn from them. Avila-institute.org is a place to find these courses that can change your life. So before the break, you were sharing about your daughter being terrified in the middle of the night. So why don't you take us from where we left off?
Yeah, so I crawled into bed next to her, and I could feel her shaking. And what was different than most, you know, I think all of us parents have had a child, or if you haven't, you will, who has a nightmare in the middle of the night. And you go and you talk to them, maybe you give them something else to think about because they can't stop thinking about whatever it was that was scaring them. And this was completely different because she didn't seem to even be awake, and yet she was walking. She was sort of mumbling and talking. She was shaking. And so I crawled into bed. I said, "Mama's here. I'll lay with you until you fall asleep." And normally I would have expected her to calm down at that point. She's in her own bed. She's protected by mom. And she didn't. She kept shaking. And I thought back to what we had just seen just a few hours previous in the talk about St. Michael the Archangel. And I just started praying over her. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any evil spirits who may be present in the name of Jesus." And I didn't know what I was doing or what I was saying, but in the name of Jesus, I was just praying over her for peace, for calm. As soon as I said, "In the name of Jesus," her body went soft. Her breathing returned to normal, and she was at peace. I stopped and I took a deep breath and thought, "Whoa." And so I just kept praying, and I tucked her in and I went back to sleep, or went back upstairs. I didn't go back to sleep. And I thought that was an attack of a spiritual nature that 2 days ago, I might not have even known how to respond to. I might not have even recognized it. So the next morning I asked her, I said, "Honey, tell me about last night. You were pretty upset." And she looks at me with the sweetest face and says, "What are you talking about, Mom?" And I said, "Well, your nightmare last night." She said, "I didn't have a nightmare last night." And I said, "Well, this is what I experienced last night with you." And her response was very similar to mine. "Whoa." But she said, "Mom, that's so cool." So as we're driving to school, we're talking about it. And she said, "I want you to share this with the parents who listen to your podcast, because I want every parent to know how to protect their child when their child has no clue what's going on." That's our job as parents. I mean, you mentioned, Dan, you said children are easy. That was the phrase that the demon said in that exorcism. And they're easy, but parents are their protectors. We are there as their protectors. And if we do our job, if we equipped ourselves with the knowledge, if we can keep ourselves free of sin, if we can walk the holy life, if we can integrate our lives with the life of Christ, our child will not be easy. And they will turn and choose another child. But our children, I don't want my children to be easy. I do not want my children to be easy. I do not want them to be victims of anything in the world. Now, I know that suffering is going to happen and they're going to learn and grow and live and become resilient. And that's a beautiful thing. Suffering can be a beautiful thing in our spiritual life. But that does not mean that I want them to be easy pickings for the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I think so powerful about what you're saying? And, you know, some parents maybe are hearing this stuff for the first time, and they haven't encountered this level of warfare in their families or whatever. Maybe they've seen it in others, but they haven't really put the pieces together. And I think one of the things that we have to understand is that evil is not the, you know, opposite of, you know, good or whatever. Evil is it's not a thing. It's not a person. It's the absence of God, right? And so the enemy can get in and manipulate and affect and afflict or disturb or bother in a space where God is absent. And God, you know, and so what you were seeing was in that moment, there was a space where the Lord allowed himself to kind of draw back so that you could see what it would look like. Mm-hmm. And then when you stepped in with prayer, right, mm-hmm. the holy name of Jesus, mm-hmm. under, you know, when his name is uttered, that every head must bow and every knee shall bend, right? The darkness is dissipated. It cannot withstand the power of a parent praying over their child, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just love what you're saying. I want parents to understand, because I, you know, Discernment of Spirits, this book is wonderful for adolescents, for young adults and all this. But I think it's even more important for parents to understand the profound responsibility to be the spiritual protectors of their home, as you said, right? Because then their children can't be easy. Talk about what, you know, I actually have an experience that's not the same. It's a little different. It's a little older. Your daughter was about 11. Ours was more in her teen years. And I woke up, you know, we prayed as a family. We were trying to, you know, we prayed daily prayer. We're following the sacraments. We're doing what we know to do. And I was awoken by a presence by my bed, but it wasn't my child. Mm. It was a dark presence. It filled the entire, surpassed the door frame. So I know it was over 10 feet tall, because we have probably 10-foot ceilings. And I could see the dark silhouette. And when I woke up and saw that, I immediately thought about my daughter for whatever reason. I think it was my guardian angel that gave me the thought. Mm-hmm. So I went to her, and in the middle of the night, I found her on the phone. And so I took the phone and loved her. And I said, what's going on? You know, I figured out what was going on and I hung up. In that moment, I understood that the enemy was going through a back door. He was at work through other people in my children's life. So just as you were seeing this in other families, in other children, talk to me about the really difficult part of pubescence, you know, when their hormones kick in, when you have the complexities of their friends at school, who they're exposed to, the lack of faith that's, you know, around them. How is Discernment of Spirits going to help them protect themselves? And also, how can we help teach our kids how to protect themselves from those who would bring harm into their life?
And not to rush you, but we have about 4 minutes. Well, it looks like we're going to have to do a second show if you're good with that. But go ahead.
Well, I would say we have to tell our kids the truth about what's going on in the world around them. And once we do, everything becomes more clear to them. At one point, one of my daughters said recently that she can see that there's a war going on, even just within a friend group. And she said, every time I do something good, this other person does something not good. And it's just, there's this back and forth, and there's this pull of good and evil among just nice kids. I mean, these are not evil kids. These are nice kids who are struggling because they don't know about, they're living outside of the faith. They're from families that have not given them this information. But she'll say, I can see what's happening. And she'll trace steps with me now. She'll say, first it was this, then it was this, then it was this. And now this is happening, Mom. And I'll say, well, what was the demonic doorway there? And she'll say, what was the Ouija board at the party 6 months ago? And I told them not to do it. And that's when I left. But then she can see how all the steps unfold within a group. And so if we don't tell our kids what's going on, they can't then recognize it in their life, because we're not there every day. So we have to equip them so that they can see it and come to understand it and have these conversations with us on a regular basis.
What I love about your conversation with your daughter is that it's now cool to her. Yeah. The whole idea of all of this is cool. And I think as parents, we can be afraid to talk about these things, but to empower our children with the right language, not to make them afraid, but to equip them for the battle, knowing that God is sovereign. God is victor already. The war's already been won, but we do need to cooperate with that. So I think just having that kind of language, especially when you enter in the complexity of cell phones, internet, Snapchat, all the other different venues that things come through. I've seen warfare in that as well. So that's a complexity. That's a whole nother thing.
So yeah. We're coming to an end of the show, but Mary Ruth, can you hang out for another edition? Folks, before you leave, make sure we don't forget to get you clarity on where you can find wisdom about all of this. It's through a new book that Dr. Mary Ruth and I wrote together called Discernment of Spirits for Beginners, Learning to Hear God and Defeat the Lies of the Enemy. Is written for parents, grandparents, and young adults. And maybe in our next show, we can talk about what's age appropriate. Yeah, but I do want to re-engage our conversation about adolescence and the period when our children are going through a significant changes in their physiology and their, which affects, of course, their psychology. You know all about that better than either of us do, and how it is specifically you see the practice or the discipline or the wisdom of using discernment of spirits, by the way, which is rooted in scripture. Folks will see that in the book, and it's also very much influenced by the practical wisdom of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. So to learn more about Mary Ruth Hackett, check out maryruthhackett.com. You can find out about her other books. And we'll come back with her for another episode, maybe more than that. We'll see. But also make sure you go check out Holy Habits to also help you navigate the interior life to heaven in every Apple or in the Apple App Store and the Google App Store. And with that, we're at a conclusion for this show.
Okay, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.